I trust that many of us enjoyed Canada's Day. It's a very wonderful day. Before I pray, let me share with you, many years ago, the first time my wife and I went to the U.S. Because I was going to school there. You know, we were in the airport and we were surprised. Maybe you didn't use the word surprise. I was shocked. First time in O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and we were at the immigration, and then I realized, you know, I'm not supposed to be standing in this particular line, but I was supposed to be standing in a line called aliens. You know, it shook me, because I've not seen such word in some of the countries that I traveled. That was the first time when we saw, by the way, we were treated like aliens at the immigration airport. And, you know, when I looked at the word, you know, it struck me, because, yes, for a moment it's true, because that's what the scripture tells us. We are foreigners, we are sojourners, we are aliens in this land. So that word, though it surprised me, or I was shocked, or maybe I was saddened, you know, coming to a country hoping to be welcomed, to look at a word like that instead of using words like foreigners or visitors, aliens, as if I was coming from another planet altogether. That surprised me. But I think it took me, you know, told me something, you know, reminded me. And that has been a constant reminder to me that I live in a land, in a place which is not permanent. Right? As the scripture reminds us, we are sojourners, we are aliens. Peter uses the word, we are strangers in this land, because this is not the land that God has given to us. Yes, we live in this place for a temporal period of time. Probably it might be 70 years or 60 years or more than that. But this is not our final destination. And that's what, you know, God is reminding the people in Jeremiah chapter 29. And I believe that God reminded the people, and God is also reminding us, even though it's Canada's Day, it's a wonderful day to remember, but it's also be reminded, and this is what God was telling them, because they were in exile from Jerusalem to Jordan, to Babylon. And let's pray and ask God to help us as we ponder on this theme called Living on the Edge. Because living on the edge, the reason I took this particular theme, because, you know, when you're at the edge of a cliff, there's a lot of excitement because you're there, right? You're there, you're able to see everything at the edge. At the same time, there's a lot of challenges, it's a lot of risk, because, right, if you slip, you're done. In the same way, I think, we're living at the edge, right? Either we stand firm and be rooted in God, or we can slip and fall into this fallen world. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that we can gather together as your people, as your church, O God, as your community. We pray, God, as we hear your word today, Father, we want to hear you. Help us, O Lord, in our meditations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, imagine, you know, I know many of you are born in this country, born and you grew up here, you got all your education here, and you have started this, worked here. And I believe many of you have actually worked or traveled to other countries for work or for a short period of time. Just take a moment trying to imagine, right? You're in a foreign land, far away, totally different. Right? Different food altogether. You're landing in this land. Different. The landscape is different. The food is different. The religion is different. The way people dress up, the attire is also different. Right? And the way they behave is also different. You're not a tourist. You are there because you're forcefully brought into this land. It was not your choice. There was no option for you. You are in this land and you are in exile. How would you feel How would you feel? You're not wanted in your own country, but you are in another country. You're not familiar with anything. Probably that will be the last place you want to be. The food is totally new. The people look at you differently. They're just waiting for you to fall. They are strangers. They speak a different language. What do you do as a child of God? And that is what Jeremiah is writing. You know, look at the word very carefully. It was God who inspired Jeremiah to write this letter. And the prophet Jeremiah wrote this letter to the priests who were in charge in those days, wanting them to read this letter to the people who were in exile. By the way, those who went on exile on three waves were around 25% of the entire population. You know, they were in this strange land. Can you imagine the frustration? You know, this is not my place. This is the last place. You know, this is an enemy's camp that I'm going to be there. They will look at me as an enemy. They will try to torture me, find fault in me. How do you feel, and how the people would have felt those days? You know, God gives word. When I was looking at this particular passage, maybe all of us would not say, you know, yeah, we are not in a strange land. It's a familiar place. Even though we, you know, people like me are foreigners here, you know, I see very common things. I see Malaysian restaurants. I see Singapore food. It's a very common, right? And I can do like any other Singaporeans here. Probably it might not really speak for us. But when you look at the passage very carefully, I think what Jeremiah is saying, that each and every one of us, wherever we are an alien. We are a foreigner. Peter writes using words like, you're a stranger. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, he also uses the word that you are also a stranger in this land. This is not our permanent land, my friend. Yes, we live here, we grow here, you know, we extend our families here, we build up our wealth here, but at the end of the day, this is not our land. I think as Christians, we need to be reminded, and that's what Jeremiah is reminding the people there, and I believe God's word is also reminding us who we are. But God has placed us with a purpose. A couple of things I want to share with you before we have communion together. In this land, you know, God is saying, right, and it says, acknowledge God in all of life situations. Look at the word very carefully, you know. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, very interesting word. In other words, I like to look at words, you know, the Lord Almighty means, you know, the Lord who is in control of everything. He is the Lord of hosts. In other words, He is the God of hosts of heaven and the earth. He is the one who is able to transform, the Almighty God. This is what the Almighty God, the God of Israel, not only the God of the heavens, but is the God of your nation. Jeremiah writes, says, to all those I carried into exile. In other words, this exile was permitted by God. God has allowed these people to go into exile, to go into bondage, my friend. Can you imagine? Israel was a chosen nation by God. God has given His promise to Abraham onwards. He's the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But He says, I have brought you, or carried you. Interesting word in the Hebrew text. No, God has carried them and brought them into exile. Sometimes we might not like, you know, God is bringing them to a troubled country, to a land where they will face the enemies who will be going to be rude towards them. You know, when I looked at it, you know, I was asking myself, maybe all of us are not in exile. You might say, you know, maybe this text doesn't apply to me. But God has brought us to different situations in our life. It could be, you know, God has placed you in your workplace, you know, as I use this word quite often, a very toxic environment. Remember you prayed and asked for God for a job, and finally God opened the door and you got a place to work. And a couple of years' time, you say, oh, this is a toxic environment. Can you imagine? And you say, this is God who allowed this. I prayed, I sent my resumes, finally this is what God showed me. And then a few years later, you say, I think this is a toxic environment. I shouldn't be there. Why? Because it doesn't favor you. You, right? As human beings, we want to be in a place, it's wonderful, it's nice, you know, people are good, there's not much challenges, right, in terms of people speaking behind you. You want, right? But can you imagine? At times, God allows. Here, he carried them into exile. God allows certain things. There are times God allows because of our sin. At times, God allows, like Joseph, it was not his sin at all. But why? Can you imagine? He was a young lad. His brothers sold him to the Egyptians, and he became a slave. But God allowed. It was not his fault. It was not his sin. But God allowed. At times, God allows because he wants his purpose to be fulfilled. At times, God allows because it is our fault, it's our sin. Because it's a decision that we have made without seeking God's guidance or even seeking proper counsel. We found it was good, and so we are in a difficult situation. But God allows certain times to teach us. In this instance, he wanted them to learn. His chosen people, right? Israel was an apple to God's eyes, my friend. But God allows. God allowed suffering in the life of Job. He was a righteous man. Can you imagine God telling Satan, did you see my servant Job? You can never see a man like that. But God allowed. Maybe, you know, it might be in a difficult situation. It might be our failure. It might be our fault. But it's important for us to know at times God allows. And you need to acknowledge God wherever you are. Maybe he's teaching us something. Or maybe he's molding us in some areas of our life. Or maybe he's helping us to become a beacon of light and hope to an environment which can be very disturbing to us. And so Jeremiah is teaching us, instead of being hatred toward the people there, instead of asking God's vengeance to be upon these people, but God wants them to acknowledge that I have carried you. Right? So wherever you are, God wants us to accept. It might be a place of learning. It might be a place of molding. It might be a place to help us to grow in our love for God. Secondly, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, by the way, if you look at Psalm, says, I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Look, Psalm, he says, David says, you know, Lord, you have done it. I'm going to be silent, Lord, and I will not open my mouth. Right? Secondly, look at the word very carefully, the verses. You know, focus on being fruitful wherever you are. That's what Scripture tells us. Jeremiah 29, 5 and 6. Can you imagine? These Israelite people, they felt, you know, they were God's chosen people. Yes, they were chosen by God in this difficult, in the midst of your enemies. But what is God telling them? Right? Build houses. What? And settle down. Settle down well. Plant gardens. We don't want to cultivate this land, right? We want the worst for the land because they are my enemies. We want vengeance. We want, like the disciples prayed, Lord, send fire down. Eat what they produce. Mary have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. In other words, God was telling them, you know, these are normal things in life. You need to be prosperous. You need to have a family. You need to have kids. You need to increase in number. In other words, God was telling them, you know, wherever you are, be fruitful. Be fruitful. And that is what God was telling them, right? Can you imagine, I think, how they would have felt, you know? Wherever you are, God says, you know, be fruitful. You know, why? You know, because there were, if you look at this, the verses that we just read today, because there were false prophets. The false prophets will say to these people by saying, you know, in a couple of years' time, probably 2 or 3 years' time, you know, God is bringing you back. And so don't settle down. Be on transit, right? Just be happy with the small thing. Don't really improve in anything because this is not. But if you look at the verses very carefully, God told them it was 70 years they're going to be there. And so God says, you know, build houses. In other words, you know, settle down well. Wherever you are, my friend. I believe when I look at this verse very carefully, that's what God is trying to teach us. Looking at the scriptures very carefully, you know, Joseph was there, right? He could have, you know, he could have just said, you know, Lord, why? But he became a leader because he helped the nation. He interpreted dreams. Can you imagine? He interpreted dreams for the good of the nation. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh for the good of the nation. And God blessed him. And so, Scripture tells us very carefully, you know, wherever we are, we need to be fruitful. So wherever God has placed you, it might be your family, you need to be fruitful. It might be your church, we need to be fruitful. In your environment, in your school, wherever God has placed you, my friend, we need to be fruitful. We need to be successful, right? We need to increase. Like Jabez prayed. Jabez, the name of Jabez was given by the mother because the mother, she lost her husband and she bore Jabez in pain, right? Can you imagine Jabez's name means, Lord, I've given to him in pain. His friends would have teased him and would have disturbed him and said, you are a curse to the family. But what is the prayer of Jabez? Lord, enlarge my borders. He said, enlarge my borders. And God answered the prayer of Jabez. I think God is telling us, you know, wherever you are, right, we need to focus on being fruitful. Be productive. Be a blessing. The place that you are. In your neighborhood too. Be involved. Volunteer. Help. Thirdly, you know, let me finish with this. Seek your city's good. I believe Toronto has a new mayor. Yes? Yes. Yeah, I was looking at the elections too. It's good to have a new mayor, right? Olivia Chow as the new mayor. And so here, you know, God is telling them in verse 7, it says, right, also seek the peace and prosperity. Come on. Your enemy? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Can you imagine praying for our enemies, praying for people who brought you into slavery, praying for those, the taskmasters who are cruel towards you, praying for those who are looking down at you because you are different, you are from a different nation altogether, you don't deserve to be treated well. How can you? As human being, it's going to be a struggle. But God says, seek, right, the peace and prosperity of the nation. think that's what, you know, all of us are called to do. Firstly, I think, look at the word very carefully. We need to live peacefully with others, right? In other words, have a harmonious relationship with people around us, my friend. You know, I was reading about, I think probably many of you would have read the article that I sent about Canada, in the G7 country. You know, Canada is known as the most welcoming country in the G7, right? We have a lot of immigrants who are coming in and, you know, starting a new chapter in this country. I was looking at the word very carefully. Very interesting. There's a difference between welcoming and friendly, right? You can welcome, but are you friendly? In that article that I wrote, right, we can be a welcoming church, but I think we should strive to be a friendly church. You can welcome people. I looked at the word very carefully and I understood friendly is you're intentional about building relationship in the church. Our church is a welcoming church. I also would say that our church is also a friendly church. Right? It's one thing to be welcoming. It's another thing altogether to be friendly. Are we building relationships? Strong Christian relationship that are encouraged. Are we just say hi, bye? Right? Are we there just praying? And, you know, like as we saw earlier, right? To do good to this nation, to the people around us, to our communities. They might be embracing a different religion altogether, my friend, but our Christian responsibility to help, to be there for people. As I said earlier, right, find an opportunity to volunteer. I too volunteer in certain hospitals, right, because it is important for us. There are times, you know, I have an opportunity together with my wife to pray for non-Christians too. But it's a joy. It's important for us to pray, live peacefully, and then not only that, pray for your city. Pray for your city. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands. Canada Day was yesterday. Did you pray for your city? I prayed. Together with my wife, I prayed. Do we pray? Do we appreciate, you know, God has placed us in this wonderful and beautiful country, you know, where we can exercise our freedom. There is opportunities for us to grow, to realize our dreams. There are many people in this world, you know, going through a difficult time, but God has placed us here. So are we praying for our city, praying for the neighborhood, right? Praying for the welfare and the prosperity of this nation? Do you know one of the difficulties in Toronto, in Canada, we are facing is housing problem, right? Inflation. There are so many, sorry, I'm not talking politics here. Right? Are we praying? Right? Probably there will be another interest hike that might happen. I hope not. But are we praying for those who will be affected? For prosperity, for progress, because when we progress, when the nation progress, we enjoy the benefits too. I think that's what God was teaching them. And that was the teachings of Jesus too, right? To love and to be there. Do we know what is the urgent need of our community, my friend, of our nation? Do we pray for them? Let me close with this. You know, I'm not going to dwell. But lastly, I think in verses 12 to 13, Jeremiah says, right, then, you know, we always read 11, right? It says, I have great plans for you to prosper you, and all these wonderful words, right? We put it in our homes and all that. But, you know, it only happens in verse 12 and 13 if that is done in our life. When you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, no matter. In other words, God wants us to seek him with all our heart. And so, my friend, let me encourage you. Like Daniel, right? He was in this strange land. what was happening. He knew the words of Jeremiah. Three times a day, without fail, he opened the windows looking towards Jerusalem and praying and faithful to the authorities under he was under. Faithfully serving for the progress of the land. So let's see God like people like Daniel, right? Serving with faithfulness and with integrity, right? And also seeking for God to save at the end of the day. Let's pray. Father, there will be moments in our life, or there might be times in our life, oh God, that we wonder, why? Why God has placed me? Why am I going through? It could be a sin problem. It could be a faith issue. It could be a time of molding. Or maybe it could be a time that God wants to do something through you. Wherever you are, acknowledge God's presence. Like what Jeremiah said, focus on being fruitful. Build. Prosper. Live the life that God has given to you. Like the words of our Lord, be a light, the salt, the place that God has placed you. Lastly, are we seeking the peace or the welfare of this city, my friend, we live in? When was the last time we prayed for our city, for our nation, for this beautiful nation where we can exercise freedom, where we can realize our dreams? Because if this nation progresses, we too will progress. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We pray, God, that you'll use us as an instrument in this land. As Christians, oh God, we are reminded of quite often that we are aliens. We are sojourners. We are strangers in this land, Father. And we're not here by accident, God. You have placed us here with a purpose. Help us, Lord, to know that you are sovereign. Help us to know, Lord, that you have a purpose for us to be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing, not only to the nation, but to the nations too. Help us, Lord, to seek you with all our heart. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.